And Sunday's high in the mid-80s. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Plenty to dive into today. I would say this, guys. Dog days of summer, you never know kind of how it's going to go. You might have to really get creative, come up with some good topics or find some things to discuss. But I'll say, man, we've been very fortunate over the last couple of weeks, which has, I guess, been like the initial part of the dog days of summer. We've had so much content and so much media to discuss. Every day there's something. And today we got us something great, man. I'll be honest. Yesterday I wasn't even aware that this was taking place today. But this morning, as I always do, scroll to kind of see what's the latest going on in the sports world. We got Coach Saban testifying in front of, I guess, Ted Cruz and various other members of Congress and the government, right? The whole bill, the bill that we've been discussing, right? Trying to save college athletics, Ted Cruz and company. I apologize. I always forget the other individual who was in on the bill alongside Ted Cruz. But anyway, Coach Saban is testifying or has testified this morning. Shout out to Chase. He directed us for the whole, I guess, 11-minute clip of him doing so. So I think, 11 minutes, that's not too bad. We can really just listen to the whole thing, I think, and discuss it. I know there were some key moments from what he had to say that pretty much got clipped up on social media on X. That's where I really was seeing most of what he's talked about. One of those being he pretty much outed the official budget of Alabama's football program. I don't know if you guys caught that, but it's pretty obvious. You know, he broke down what it was the first year NIL was able to be, I guess, handed out, and then to all the way as recent as this past year. So now we have a true figure, right? Everybody's always trying to guesstimate and try to figure out and put the pieces together. Well, we paid this guy this, and this guy's worth that. Maybe Alabama spent this amount in NIL. Well, according to Coach Saban, I think we have our answer on where Alabama sits. And I would say it's probably about on par with what most people kind of assumed Alabama was spending. Definitely a little bit less than some of these programs that we hear, at least right now, than what we've been hearing. But we'll discuss all that in detail. Plus, we'll pretty much just listen to the whole thing. See what Coach Saban had to say. Because, of course, when he talks, a lot of people like to listen, right? So why not do that here on the show? We'll do that. Plus, a couple other things that have come up that I've seen that we'll look forward to discussing. Yesterday, we had Andrew Bone on the show, talked a lot about recruiting. So for all our folks that really enjoy recruiting, man, make sure you guys go back and check that out. Andrew broke down the latest from Alabama's big visit. I believe it was the first official visit of the summer. Camp's going on, right? So recruiting's picking up. Andrew gave us a very extensive breakdown on that. Going to try to get him on here pretty much every week, especially during these hot months, right? Not just hot outside, but hot in terms of recruiting, right? A lot of activity going on there. We'll get the latest from him, hopefully moving forward. And of course, we'll have guests throughout the week as usual. I think we might have a loaded day tomorrow because I think Clint wanted to try to reschedule to Thursday, which we've got Adam, we got Brandon Clear. So we might just have a whole loaded day here on the show. It'd be very fun when we get there. But we got to be where our feet are. Today's a Wednesday edition. Nothing really lined up today. So if you guys want to get in on the conversation, 205-342-9904 is the number. We always encourage you guys to get in on the action. You can do it that way, or you can come hang out with us on the streams. We stream live every day on YouTube, on X, on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page, at the Miller's Edge on every other platform you can find us. And it's been fun, man. We've had a lot of people involved hanging out in the chat, definitely getting in the conversations. Always enjoy when you guys do that. That said, a couple of little notes that I want to hit on. Chase Reed, I'm not going to say mocked, but we talked a little bit about baseball, right? Alabama baseball cry for help, right? They needed some attendance. They said, hey, we're doing some good stuff. Come support us. We need some love. Show us some love. Well, the people have responded. Get this, guys. I don't know if you saw this already, but the Joe has already been packed, right? The whole thing is packed, the Joe. Well, the Joe will be packed. It's pretty much sold out. Now, I do see that they did, in fact, open up some more tickets today. They made some more tickets available only for, like, standing room, right? These are standing room only tickets because everything else has been sold out. Now, I also saw that Yay Alabama was offering up to 4 complimentary tickets So if I had to guess, it is sold out. I don't expect to see a butt in every single seat, because we know how this goes. Sometimes people just buy up these things, then they don't end up going. Hopefully it does look like that, though. I want it to look like that. But if you guys are interested, there are a limited number of single game standing room tickets on RollTide.com. So make sure if you guys want to attend, go there. That way you can try to find yourself one. But the people have responded, so hopefully we have a good turnout this weekend. They'll be taking on St. John's in the Super Regional, first one that they've hosted since 2006. So hopefully they can try to recreate some of the magic that we saw from softball. Granted, I do know that softball fell a little bit short. We talked about that at length yesterday. But baseball's got a chance, Chase. I mean, we all right, you know, softball train has you know, come to a halt, but the baseball train is still going. We can see what we can make out of it. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know how much, you know, hope we have in baseball making all the way to the finals. What do you guys think? Reed, Chase? I mean, I know they're definitely not favored to do so. You guys don't seem very optimistic there. I mean, all right, let me.
Okay. Sorry. Well, I only had that reaction because I'm thinking about Alabama softball was like the number one overall seed, right? So I kind of had the expectation of them, you know, making it pretty far. While Bama baseball was given the seventh overall seed, where they were able to host both a regional and a super regional. So a seven, I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible, but just kind of based upon seeding, and we don't exactly know who they play in, like if they were to make it to Omaha. So can't quite, you know, fully, I guess, commit to that.
Yeah, listen, that's fair. I mean, that's fair. I just didn't know. I mean, listen, a lot of people excited about Rob Vaughn, what he's been doing, right? I mean, you got some good stuff going on, and I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I just was trying to just gauge the temperature, just try to see. I don't know. I mean, listen, I'll be the first one to tell you, I have not kept up with baseball as much as I probably should have this season. Now, a couple of years ago, I was really in it, man. I really was, like, locked in. This year, I'll be honest with you, I hadn't watched it as frequent as I probably would have liked or probably should have to know exactly all the teams, right, still left in it. Like, clearly we can pull up a graphic, but I mean, like, really know who those teams are, kind of who would be a good matchup, bad matchup, all like I said anyway. So maybe we'll, I know Robbie Glenn called, former Alabama baseball player. He called yesterday. Maybe he'll call back in some point today or tomorrow, and we can get his thoughts on this baseball team. Maybe he knows a little bit about St. John's. If not, we need to shoot Lance Cormier a text and get him back on the show and get him to break down kind of what to expect out of the Super Regionals, and if Alabama can advance, what we could expect out of the College World Series if they make it there. But again, shout out to the fans, man. They responded the right way, and maybe there was some truth to it. People might have just been a little too focused on softball and everything else going on. I think school is back in session. We're summer school, right? So maybe there's more people here as well. But hopefully it should be a much better turnout this weekend for a sold-out weekend, I should say, at the Joe. We did talk in length about the Aiden Holloway situation yesterday for you guys that might have missed it. The latest on that is Aiden Holloway, as Adam called it, has pretty much entered a guilty plea, if I'm not mistaken, right? He can't, I guess, I should have had it pulled up and remembered the exact terminology, but you guys get the point, right? He's entering a second chance program, right? And has a chance to have all of this removed off his record entirely. He'll have to commit, I think, like 50 hours to community service, pay some fines, education stuff, and then also be subject to those random drug and alcohol screenings. The reason I'm bringing that back up is not only to remind you guys that might have missed out on hearing that yesterday, but also I did read this, Chase. I saw this after we did the show. Remember, we were talking about the timeline, right? It says 6 months. Well, that was the expected time. According to his, I think, representation, I think is who said this, it could be longer, it could be shorter. I believe his representation believes it should be closer to September when he is, in fact, finished or has completed the program. That was a big thing for us yesterday. We were trying to figure out the timeline, right? I mean, 6 months from yesterday would have been like December 2nd. They would have been well within, I guess, the season kind of, I mean, I guess plenty of ball still to be played, right? I mean, December, I mean, March Madness is still months away, but you get the point. I think the ball would really would have been rolling. September, though, that's a little bit different of a scenario. So it sounds like if he really hits the ground running, and, you know, literally is probably doing community service, you know, week in, week out, probably as many hours as possible, kind of cramming it all in every single week, he could be back available by September, which, again, we still have to, you know, I guess, get to the part where Greg Byrne, administration, coaching staff, all that stuff gets to their process of maybe reinstating him, which it sounds like that's clearly the plan, right? I mean, they're not going to come out and maybe say that just yet. They want him to do his due diligence. But I think the writing's on the wall. It sounds like he's working his way back to being back on that court, suiting up for Nate Oates and building off what he did this past season, right, where he was like the second leading scorer, 16.8 points or so, averaging last year for the Crimson Tide. So definitely some stuff there. But really, we're going to talk a lot about this whole hearing that's going on. Coach Saban, again, he's testifying, or he did testify. We got that whole clip. We'll probably just play the whole thing. Well, here's the interesting thing, guys, before we hit this break. You got Coach Saban, former Alabama coach, right? Pioneer, but we all know one of the greatest coaches, if not the greatest college coach of all time, not just in the conference, but within college football itself. Well, kind of awkward here if you've seen this. The SEC has come out with a joint statement alongside the Big Ten, and they pretty much are opposing the current, the hearing that's going on today. They're opposing what has been proposed so far. Right. So it's kind of awkward because you got Coach Saban, former Alabama coach. He's, you know, fighting for it, arguing for it. Then the SEC and the Big Ten come out with a joint statement basically saying, yeah, we're not really buying into this, at least what it is right now. So we'll talk a little bit about that, what that could mean. We'll hear from Coach Saban and more. Hear from you guys as well, 205-342-9904. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. But first, we got to hit a timeout. We come back, we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 12.
Appliance savings and free delivery on select appliances at the Home Depot. Offer valid May 14th through June 3rd, U.S. only. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $998 or more. See store online for details.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Experience is preferred but not required. Apply at CoviaCorp.com or call the Covia office at 205-758-8353.
Follow the Crimson Tide on their journey to another national championship.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC. All right, we're about to hear from Coach Saban as he testified today before the Senate on protecting college sports. About 11 minutes, so we'll just listen to the whole thing real quick. That way we can lay the table. Had a quick question I want to hit real quick. Ramon said, what game is a must-watch for you this season? That one's tough, Reed, because I feel like there's a lot of good games on Alabama's schedule. Immediately, I think of the Georgia game, right? I mean, we beat them in Athens, right? And they beat the crap out of us in the SEC championship game. We'll love to kind of see how we stack up against Georgia this upcoming season. But you know, another one that I really feel like I'm really excited to see is heading down to Baton Rouge, man, and facing Lane Kiffin, right? I mean, it's Lane Kiffin's first year at LSU. He went out and got him some dudes, man, got himself one of the top, if not the top quarterback in the portal. A left tackle that, without a doubt, I would put $1 million on a bet that he will be a first-round draft pick in Jordan Seaton. I mean, he looks like one of those guys. Is like can't-miss prospect, just watching him move. I mean, it's body type. I mean, everything about the guy just screams like 10-year-plus NFL career, I mean, top left tackle prospect. And not to mention, I mean, the big tight end that they still have. I mean, they've got some pieces, man. I'm curious to see that LSU football team. And also on top of that, Lane Kiffin, right? Also Charlie Weiss. I mean, like, I'm excited to see how that football team looks, and I think that's going to be a really good football game. Am I missing one, Reed? All right, so right now I got Georgia and LSU being the ones that I really can't wait to see.
Yeah, no, I mean, outside of that, the first one that came to mind for me was, like you pointed out, it was Georgia, and then the first week in November going down to Baton Rouge. But outside of that, I'd probably say that third spot might just have to be Texas A&M with Marcel Reed coming into Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, that's definitely, yeah, I mean, really that whole stretch. I mean, I really just say that whole stretch. How about this one? Florida State rematch. I mean, listen, we got to get our get back, man. I mean, listen, Florida State rematch might be a good one to say, too. I mean, you would think our guys are going to be fired up for that game. They got to come to Tuscaloosa. When was the last time Florida State has traveled to Tuscaloosa? I mean, let's talk about it. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I know I've played there. I played Florida State in Atlanta in my 2017, my redshirt junior year. Great game, right? We ended up blowing them out pretty much. But, I mean, it was cool playing a team like Florida State. They got a lot of history, right? I know they're in the ACC, the Atlantic Cupcake Conference, but it's Florida State, man. I mean, it's a good program. They're coming to Tuscaloosa. I think that'll be cool. So I would maybe add that to the list given how things went last season. But that's a great question by Ramon. But for me, I think Georgia and LSU immediately jump out. And then maybe I would throw in Florida State, given it's a get-back game. But I don't know if it's going to be like some super close game. I don't know. What do you think, Reed?
Well, no, I was just going to answer that question that you had regarding when was the last time they came to Tuscaloosa, which was 1974 when Alabama won 8-7.
1974?
Yes, because it says like on their official Damn. Website that we've only played them 6 times all time. 2 in Tuscaloosa, 1 in Birmingham, 1 in Jacksonville, 1 in Atlanta, and 1 in Tallahassee.
Okay, well, all right, then I think that's a good pick then, because, I mean, listen, I mean, it's Florida State coming to Tuscaloosa, I think that'll be a cool thing to see. I mean, you know, like you just said, it hadn't happened since the 70s. So, I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. Great question, by the way. You guys can let us know as well. What game are you? I know I named like 3, but what game are you most looking forward to this upcoming season? As Crystal said, we're 94 days away, man, so we're counting down. All right, let's give a listen to what Coach Saban had to say, because I want to lay the table with this and we're going to talk about this. Again, he's testifying in front of the Senate. They got the whole bill that's been presented, right? Ted Cruz and company, they're trying to save college sports. Coach Saban is an advocate for it. He's trying to help out. And he had a number of the interesting things that he mentioned, so we're going to give it a listen. This is what the former Alabama head coach had to say.
Thank you, Chairman Cruz. I could use a little of that Cuban coffee because I didn't sleep much last night worrying about this testimony. Ranking Member Cantwell and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. And I really want everybody here to know that I'm not here to represent a conference or a team, but to preserve college athletics as a whole. You know, I think we all have to ask ourselves a question. What is our guiding principles for the future of college athletics, including Olympic, women, and non-revenue sports? You know, I've spent my adult life in college athletics. I believe in it. I've seen people come, young people come in the program, need structure, need discipline, need coaching, need academic support, need accountability, and I've seen them leave with a degree, a career, a family, and a better chance to be successful in life. I think the current system that we have in college athletics right now makes it more and more difficult to do these things. We've moved away from development to focusing on money and not life skills. So to put this in perspective, if you had the biggest, baddest Ferrari that you could ever have and it was going 150 miles an hour toward the Grand Canyon, somebody needs to tap the brakes. And I think that's what we all need to do here. And I'm going to veer a little away from my testimony and just give you some examples of, you know, things that I think people may not know that are happening in college football that are huge problems. First of all, I think student athletes should profit from name, image, and likeness, as long as those things are authentic endorsements. They create branding for themselves. They sign with the company. They do promotions. I think these things are all healthy for their education as well as their quality of life. I think name, image, and likeness has become pay for play. You know, I said 5 or 6 years ago when a school that I'm not going to mention who didn't do anything wrong had what is called a collective. A collective is an organization that raises money, basically from alumni, to be able to pay players and disguise it as marketing opportunities. When a school did that, the first school that did it, I said, is this what we want college football to become? And I got really criticized for that. But it has become that. And it's become pay for play. And we've also extended the opportunities now to funnel money from operations which come to the universities as marketing opportunities from the university standpoint to funnel that money out of operations into paying players. So now if you take that $20 million or whatever it is, you could fund five or six Olympic and women's sports. So these are things that I think need to be addressed. And I think this bill takes a big step forward in doing that. So I think this bill also creates a competitive balance. You know, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, they all have some kind of rules that govern how they compete. It creates parity. It creates, you know, something that gives you the opportunity to have a framework to build a fair play system in, which I think is really, really important. And I think this bill does that. Right now in college football, we have no rules. We have state laws. We have different in every state. We have litigation. The NCAA cannot enforce their own rules because every time they try to enforce the rule, there's a lawsuit. So, I mean, an example would be Ole Miss's quarterback. They say he can't play next year. He's playing next year because of litigation. So, but this is just the way it is. It's become an arm race. Who spends the most has got the best chance to win. But I think it's a race to the bottom because if you don't spend to win, you lose your fan base and you don't have any revenue. So how do you manage the other sports? So the one thing that I think this bill does, you know, sort of enhance the enforcement of the House settlement, which to me is a start, which sort of creates a revenue share, kind of a cap, and also controls some of the name, image, and likeness things that this bill tries to control. So transferring. You know, I think transferring is a good thing. I don't think a player should be trapped in a bad situation. But I also think multiple transfers have a negative effect. I think there can be legitimate circumstances where you can transfer more than once. I think if you graduate, you should be able to transfer again because you might have a fifth year where you can have more success someplace else. But unlimited transfers creates free agency. Free agency with a collective. Now you're talking about bidding war for players. And then you've got agents out there that are not certified, that are enhancing players or encouraging players to get in the portal, I can get you more money. So now we have this unbelievable number of players that get in the portal every year, and we have nothing to control agents. We have nothing to control tampering. You know, Clemson had a player that was on campus for a whole week, and they come and got him off the campus and took him someplace else. So these kinds of things going on in college football are absolutely not what any of us signed up for relative to the educational institutions that, you know, we've all tried to represent. So what's the cause and effect of transferring? I think every time you transfer, you have less and less of an opportunity to graduate. You know, this hits home with me because I actually coached 50 years ago when people didn't graduate. And we saw 30 for 30s on what happened to their life. And we worked hard for a long time to get graduation rates where they are. And I'm proud of the fact that we had 668 or whatever the number is, you know, graduates at Alabama over 17 years. So we need to get back to, you know, that kind of atmosphere in college athletics. But if you transfer all the time, so first of all, we had players transfer that were in business. So they transferred, they couldn't get business school with the school they transferred to, so they got general studies so they could be eligible. So they minimized the importance of their degree because they transferred. And then also, could they graduate? You got guys transferring 3 or 4 years. We have guys playing 7 or 8 years of college football, which is ridiculous. We had 50 players in the draft this year that were over 25 years old, competing against 17 and 18-year-olds, only because we have no structure in terms of what is eligibility. So the eligibility rule of 5 years is a really good thing, I think. I think we should protect prep schools. If somebody wants to improve their academic circumstance, their clock shouldn't start. And they should still have 5 years after that. And I think defining who is a pro. I know a guy came from the G League. That's a pro. There's also guys coming from Europe that are pros that are not under the same rules and regulations. I think all those things need to be controlled. So the collective, what if we continue to invest more and more in football and basketball? Let me give you the history. My first year we had collective at Alabama, 2.7 million. Next year, 7 million. Next year, 10 million. I retired. Next year, 17 million. Next year, 24 million. Now you have schools that have close to $40 million rosters. So if we continue to do that, we're going to lose Olympic sports. We're going to lose non-revenue sports. We're going to lose scholarships. And basically what's going to happen is you're going to have football and basketball succeed, and we'll have club sports for everything else with no scholarships. That's horrible. I mean, we can't let that happen. And I think we have to continue to figure out ways that we can raise revenue so that we can keep all sports and all opportunities for all young people intact. I think we have to protect scholarships. We mentioned that. Injury, roster decisions, athletic performance should not be reasons to get rid of a player. But what we've created now with the portal, which we think is a good thing, all the coach has to say to a player that's not very good is, get in the portal. I don't want you on the team. So he gets in the portal and maybe he doesn't get an opportunity. 30% of the people who get in the portal don't get an opportunity. So nobody talks about those things. And it minimizes, because everybody recruits out of the portal, how many young people out of high school get an opportunity to get a scholarship and play college football and start a career. So I think medical protection, injury protection, and healthcare are something that's really important. But I also think that Congress does not need to micromanage college athletics. There's lots of people out there that can help us do that. Congress does need to fix the mess in the courts, create a national framework so people inside college sports can enforce fair rules. Without legal certainty, every rule becomes another lawsuit, every standard becomes another risk, and the system keeps drifting toward the professional model. I believe we want an education-based model that compensates athletes fairly, protects athletes properly, and still preserves development, competition, opportunity, and tradition. That is what this bill is trying to do. It isn't perfect, and I'm sure many, many adjustments need to be made, and I think there's a lot of people who can add to that. But this is a serious bipartisan effort to bring order to a system that is badly needs fixing. I don't think this is bipartisan. I think it should be nonpartisan. It's that important in terms of college athletics, in terms of the future for young people. It protects athletes. It protects opportunity. It protects competitive balance. It protects the sports that do not always generate revenue but still matter. It gives college athletes a chance to move forward with rules that are clear, national, and enforceable. For these reasons, I support the Protect College Sports Act and urge Congress to act. Thank you.
So there you have it. That was former Alabama head coach Nick Saban testifying in front of the Senate today in terms of the bill that they are proposing to try to help fix and regulate college athletics. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll respond to everything that Coach Saban had to say. A lot of thoughts and comments if you just see on social media. So we're going to discuss. I want to get y'all's thoughts. Do you agree with Coach Saban? Are you in favor with what he is, I guess, advocating for? We'll talk about that on the other side.
For our complete range of duct services, 205-339-6540 or at adamsfcs.com. Adams Services.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
Call 800-544-7357. 800-544-7357. That's 800-544-7357.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We just heard Coach Saban's entire, I guess, statement, opening statement of his testimony in front of the Senate, and read just a little bit of a recap, pretty much was along the lines of everything we've been talking about, trying to find a way to enforce rules more so, I guess, on the federal level, right, to create that parity, because right now at the state level, you see it doesn't really do much. People can kind of come up with their own rules, play by them, and it's just not fair for everybody. Try to regulate the boosters and the collective that have been so heavily involved, right, in these rosters and their values that are so ever just increasing year after year. But really, I mean, again, I just don't see how people listen to what he says and could really find issue with anything, really. He prefaced by saying he's all for athletes being compensated, right? So for all the people that make that claim, we know that's a lie. He literally started his statement by saying that. He just wants it to be done in an authentic manner, which makes total sense, right? Because the whole issue right now is not that they're getting paid for going and doing autographs or selling T-shirts or filming a commercial. That's not the problem. The problem is the boosters funneling all this money into these collectives just to pay these guys to play for non-authentic, we'll call them. I don't want to necessarily call it phony, but they're not authentic deals. He talked about the transfer portal, how there could be issues with credits, guys having to default to lower degrees simply just to be eligible. That's clearly a problem, right? That there's a clear reduction in the attention to the education side of things, which we all know is very important when it comes to college athletics. Talked about the health insurance and the coverage. I mean, so really, he went over everything that we've talked about and discussed in this bill and gave very good reasons for why these things are important, and also shared his experiences as a former head coach, both before NIL, then, of course, the few years that he was a part of it afterwards. He had the whole little analogy about the Ferrari. I love how he throws out the Ferrari thing. Then he owned Ferrari dealerships and drives one. I mean, Ferrari going 150 miles per hour towards Grand Canyon. Somebody's got to hit the brakes, right? And that's what this bill and, I guess, Congress are here to do. They're supposed to serve as the brakes on that beautiful Ferrari that he drives around. He used to park in that very first spot that we all used to see walking in. Now the NIL is the thing. I mean, these guys can pull up in a lot nicer cars and maybe they can compete with them. We weren't competing with the Ferrari back then. Nowadays, you probably have some guys that can compete with them with that Ferrari. So all that being said, Reed, I mean, I thought it made sense. But of course, like I mentioned earlier, the SEC and the Big Ten, they're kind of like, not so fast. Granted, this came out before he officially addressed Congress today. This was the joint statement from the Big Ten and the SEC that they put out, I believe it was last night, yesterday evening. It says the Big Ten Conference and the Southeastern Conference support a sustainable national framework for college sports, one with an effective transfer portal, clear eligibility standards, and protections and benefits for student athletes, all things that I'm pretty sure coaches mentioned. While we appreciate the leadership of Senators Cruz and Cantwell in pursuing these shared goals, we do not support the Protect College Sports Act as drafted. The bill leaves critical issues unresolved. It does not meaningfully preempt the patchwork of state laws or provide the protections needed to make and enforce consistent rules, both essential to long-term stability in college athletics. It also shifts ongoing rulemaking to Congress, limiting the ability to adapt quickly as the landscape evolves. Rather than reducing litigation, the bill likely expands it without offering clear alternatives for dispute resolution. Finally, the bill alters the House settlement revenue sharing framework in a way that may result in fewer student athletes receiving direct revenue share payments. We are committed to working with Senators Cruz and Cantwell and other members of Congress to improve the legislation so that it can provide lasting stability for college athletics. So not necessarily like completely against what, you know, the senators and in Congress are trying to propose here, Reed. More so, they just, it sounds like they don't believe it has everything inside of it to really provide that long-term stability. And I mentioned even limiting what I guess some student athletes could receive in terms of direct revenue share payments. So just kind of interesting stuff there. I wish that it went into more detail. Maybe I'm just not smart enough to really understand exactly how, I don't know. I mean, I guess it mentioned like the state laws and stuff like that, which I thought the whole point of taking it to the, I don't know, to Congress and getting it at a federal level was to kind of override the whole state law issue. So I don't know. But let me go back, Reed, because I'm kind of jumping ahead. What did you make of what Coach Saban had to say? Again, a lot of the same stuff we've been talking about. I don't think he shifted really anything with his stance on this stuff. But the latest testimony from Coach Saban, what did you walk away with?
Yeah, no, Christian, I think it's he identified a lot of points that we've been talking about, but mainly the point, as soon as I heard it, that's exactly what we've been looking for, is a framework. What is, you know, allowed and what is not allowed? There's just always been this invisible line that has never been, you know, shown, and so something needs to be drawn and said, okay, this is allowed and this isn't. And I think now credit, kind of like with everything, when you're trying something for the first time, right, with this whole Protection Act, is it going, if it goes fulfilled, is it going to fully succeed right out the gate? We don't know, you know, probably not. But we need something to start off. And I know, of course, in that statement with the SEC and the Big Ten, they said that they don't agree with it, but they're trying to, you know, work something out. But until I see another, you know, proposed of, okay, this is what, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten want versus the Protection Act, then I'm going to obviously lead the Protection Act because I'm more of a, you know, do rather than say.
Yeah, I agree with you. But you're right in terms of just getting some framework, some guidelines. I mean, the good news is, I mean, the way the SEC and the Big Ten worded it wasn't like, hey, we're totally against what you guys are doing. It was, the way it read was, you know, we appreciate the efforts, but we are not sure the way it currently sits would be enough to really, I guess, make lasting change, right? So that, I guess I'll have to read a little bit more or go back and listen to try to really understand maybe exactly what they feel like is the issue or what they would like added. I wish it was a little dumbed down a little bit more instead of all this, you know, working around things. But I don't know. I want to get y'all's thoughts. 205-342-9904. I think we got Nick on the phone lines. We'll go to the phone lines when we come back. But first, we got to hit a quick timeout. We'll keep on rolling on this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
On the Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll talk about basketball. We'll talk some football with a national analyst. We'll talk to Coach Tony Franklin, who will break down an offensive line for us. What does it take to have a great offensive line? Tony Franklin will share some of those thoughts. We'll talk to Brooks Austin about the Elite 11 and more starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler, weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC, and streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
Allstate. Not available in every state. Only applicable for new auto insurance business. Rates will vary by several factors, including how you purchase the policy. Potential savings vary. Allstate North American Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more,
that's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. A beautiful afternoon with sunshine at 83, an easterly breeze, 60 our low tonight. High tomorrow, 83. Thursday night's low, 60. And Friday, sunshine with a high 86. Looks like our next shot at showers and storms come in late in the day on Saturday with a high 86. Numerous showers and storms to close out the weekend on Sunday. Sunday's high in the mid-80s. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And welcome back into this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're discussing Coach Saban's testimony at the Senate hearing today regarding the latest bill, right? The, what is it called? Say it was a Protect College Sports Act, right? So we've been listening to that, breaking it down. But I want to go to the phone lines real quick, 205-342-9904. I think we had Nick on their way, and I don't know if Nick's still on there. Nick, are you still with us?
I'm here.
Hey,
I'm
Nick.
Here with you. Hey, Kristen, roll tide, man.
What's up, man? Roll tide.
You know, first off, I had some questions I want to talk to you about the defense. That's my, but when I was listening to all this about Coach Saban, I just want to comment on that. Everybody, I think a lot of people look at Coach Saban and think, oh, he just dominated before players got paid and he just wants to keep it that way. He wants what's best for college football. I remember him commending Bryce Young for going out and getting his own deals, NIL deals and stuff when he was doing great. He's never, and they, you know, some of them were silly. I don't know, but I think if they made Coach Saban could somehow get him whatever you call commissioner or head of college football, he would fix a lot of things and players would still get paid, but he could just stop maybe some of this transferring. I don't know what the answer is. If players out of high school need to start, or they need to start signing contracts like the NFL or whatever. But, but you know, anyway, my point of what I was going to ask you about the defense, are just some standout players that we know the ones that are going to be, you know, dominating for the defense. But, you know, I have a few and I just thought I was going to ask you about and some standout players you thought. But a lot of people was down on Keon Sab, you know, don't think he's all that great. I think he's going to have a standout year. And I remember him chasing that guy down from Tennessee with a broke foot before he went out for the year. And I also think QB Reese, I think he's going to be great. And I like Justin Hill. I believe that's his name. I really think he's going to be a good player on the defense. If our offense can just get things clicking after the first two games at least, you know, and get going and can get, you know, put 35, 38 points on the board every game, I believe the defense can hold them, you know. I don't blame the defense what happened with Indiana. You cannot, you know, as a defensive player, you cannot keep the defense on the field that long and expect them just to keep holding up. But anyway, what's your thoughts on that? What's your thoughts on the on some other players, you know? I just wanted to know, because you're a defensive guy, I just like to hear your input on it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you calling. Really good stuff, Nick. I would say, In regards to Keon Sab, no, I think he's a good football player. I think he had a little bit of a down year last season. I almost believe the football he was playing before that foot injury, right, that he had against Tennessee. I mean, I thought he was one of our better players up until that point. And I don't know if maybe the injury kind of, you know, maybe, you know, knocked his game down a little bit or kind of put him in a spot where he was still trying to regain some of that confidence. Maybe he was just kind of getting back in his groove. I'm not entirely sure, but I agree that he didn't have his best season last year. I mean, just being honest, even just watching the tape, there's times, I mean, I just feel like he had some missed opportunities, especially, you know, bringing him on blitzes, man. There's a number of times where I'm being like, you know, you need him to really just continue on his path and you know, he would either slow down or, you know, miss a play here or there. And there's just little things. I think he could get clean back up. And maybe it was a confidence thing. I'm not sure. But I don't think he's a bad player. But I do think he had a little bit of a down year last year. But the other guys you did mention, I love Justin Hill. I love how physical he is. To me, he's the guy that plays with a lot of intensity. He's a guy that can set the tone for you. I think he's got a lot of untapped potential. I think he's a guy that can continue to improve his pass rush ability. And the better he gets in that area, I think it's going to make him just an even more complete outside linebacker. And I think he'll definitely end up having a really strong season this upcoming year. And I like linebacker you mentioned as well, QB Reese. You know, he's not the biggest guy, but I think he's put on a little bit of weight, you know, but at the end of the day, man, he kind of packs the punch. He's instinctive. Just watching him move, man, the way he can kind of recognize things. He's quick. I've seen him be physical, right? You know, put a hat on a hat. And I think he's going to end up being a solid player for us as well. So I like a lot of the pieces that we have on defense. There's a couple other guys I'm curious about. Some young guys that I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, you mentioned in the safety spot. I mean, I like Ivan Taylor a lot. I like Drake Kirkpatrick Jr. a lot. I wouldn't be shocked.
I love Drake Kirkpatrick. I mean, he's a headhunter. I mean, he comes at you, you know. He's gonna put it on you when, you know. But one of the linebackers I forgot to mention, the transfer Caleb Woodson, isn't that right, his name, from Virginia Tech. Well, I think if you go back and look, I know Virginia Tech wasn't that good of a team, but if you go back and look at what he did, he is a good player, and he is a good leader, and I think he'll help be a good leader in that linebacking corps. So.
Yeah, I agree. No, I like him. I think he's a solid player for sure. You know, watched him on tape at Virginia Tech. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, he's a hell of an athlete. He's put on some weight since he's got here, and I thought he did some really good stuff this spring. And I think sometimes, man, when you get in a new system that allows you to be a little bit more of kind of the player that you like to play as, you know what I'm saying? Like, gives you a little bit more freedom. I think it can kind of open up some things, unlock some things in your game. And I think you're kind of seeing that with him. I thought at Virginia Tech, he definitely did some good things, but there's also some things on tape that you would have liked to see him work on. And I think since showing up here, I feel like he's gotten better and improved in some of those areas, at least to the spring. So I'm excited to see him continue to grow and develop over the next couple of months.
Oh, yeah. You know, our facilities are a lot better than Virginia Tech. You know that already.
Everything. They definitely are.
I appreciate you taking my call, and man, I love the show. And I just wanted to say, I was watching some older games just the other day, going back and watching just some older games play out. And man, I saw you getting after making some big time tackles. You was a good player, man.
Thank you so much.
I'm proud to have you on our team, man. He's a hell of a player.
Thank you so much, Nick. I appreciate it. Thank you for the support and listening in every day, and then calling in, man. Always good to hear from you. I appreciate you, man.
You too, man. You have a good day.
Yes, sir. Take care, brother. Good stuff, man. Really nice guy. We appreciate Nick. He's always hanging out in the chat and always enjoy when he calls us and gets in on the conversation. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling on this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, Here's Steve DeSager.
Game one of the Stanley Cup Final went to Vegas, winning 5-4 at Carolina. The game-winning goal came with under 3.5 minutes to go. Game two of the series is in Raleigh on Thursday. The NHL's All-Star Game in February will be a 3-on-3 round-robin tournament with 5 teams at the New York Islanders Arena. In Major League Baseball, Seattle won its 8th straight game, 8-3 over the Mets. Late-night victories for the Dodgers and Colorado. Texas won its 5th in a row with 3 runs top of the 9th. The Rangers won at St. Louis 7-4. Milwaukee with another victory, 8-3 over San Francisco. Winning pitcher Kyle Harrison is 7-1. Cincinnati came back for a 10-inning win over Kansas City 4-3. Philadelphia edged the Padres 3-2. In the WNBA, victories for Las Vegas and Golden State. The Atlanta Falcons gave wide receiver Drake London a 4-year contract extension worth $100 million guaranteed.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports National Analyst. We'll talk about basketball. We'll talk some football with a National Analyst. We'll talk to Coach Tony Franklin, who will break down an offensive line for us. What does it take to have a great offensive line? Tony Franklin will share some of those thoughts. We'll talk to Brooks Austin about the Elite 11 and more, starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler, weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC, and streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with 4-time SEC champion and 2-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We just heard from Nick on the phone lines. Again, we're breaking down everything Coach Saban said earlier today when he was addressing the Senate over the Protect College Sports Act. Yes, Protect College Sports Act. I was mentioning this to our chat here on the streams. Again, we do stream live every day as we do the show. Check us out at the Miller's Edge, YouTube, X, all that good stuff. And on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page as well. But for our radio listeners, so the SEC, we talked about it. They came out with a joint statement with the Big Ten, somewhat not completely opposing it, but they kind of said, hey, you know, we appreciate the efforts, but we don't necessarily agree with everything the way it sits now. I asked ChatGPT to kind of dumb it down for me a little bit, right? Why exactly they would, you know, oppose some of this stuff in here. And basically the bullet points are they don't believe it strongly overrides state laws enough, which I was kind of confused on that because I was like, well, if we're taking it to the federal level, I thought that would pretty much override the state level, but maybe not enough. Also, pooling and TV media rights, they oppose the idea of that, right? So some revenue issues that they don't necessarily agree with. And then to kind of just simplify it, they felt like it was giving a little bit too much power to Congress in terms of making these decisions and how some of those, they want to be able to make their own decisions somewhat and kind of adjust and adapt quickly and not have to depend on, you know, new bills and amendments and things and this and that and revisions. So that was pretty much why the SEC and the Big Ten initially came out and said, hey, it's not completely perfect as it stands. So there's that. It makes a little bit more sense. Thank you to ChatGPT. 205-342-9904. Let's keep on rolling. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
How's it going, Christian?
It's good, brother. How's everything?
Good, man. You know how it is when Nick Saban talks, everybody starts pocket watching. talking about what that's why they say this. And I think the average fan doesn't realize most coaches wanted players to get paid. They wanted players to have something because they see these stories with these kids, many of them that come from the most, you know, wealthiest families, and they just want to put some gas in that car, you know, and there's a rule for that. You can't even give somebody a ride home. But I think that, like, the issue, one issue I have is these coaches, administrators, all this stuff, can they just come out and say that the collectors are paid by fans? We are asking fans to put money in and pay these players. And if there's an economic downturn or someone loses their job, that $20 a month going to be gone. You know, we ain't paying that for you, for a player. You know, right. I just think no one wants to say that. And it's like fans should not be tasked for paying players. It should be the responsibility of the school and or conference to pay players. That's just my opinion because we're not tasked to do that. Now, we'll pay you if you do an autograph session. And here's the other thing, Christian. You mean to tell me the third string left guard got a marketing deal? Be honest here. Out of high school.
Probably not, but I mean, allegedly, according to the collective, yeah, I mean, he's worth $300,000 to do something. Trust me, I get exactly what you're putting down.
Yeah, and there should be rules. I've always used this analogy. These people want kids to eat ice cream and pizza for breakfast. There should be rules and structure, like there is a pro sport. But here's the thing, they keep talking about CBA this, CBA that. The players and their quote-unquote agents don't want a CBA. They like it the way it is. Let's just be real. If I could transfer four times in 4 years, now I don't understand that, Chris. I can't see why these kids want to move all the time. I'm a grown man. I hate moving. I don't want to do it every year. I don't see how they could do it. But Why would they want a CBA if you got, like, no cap? You could get whatever you can, transfer whatever you want. Just like that kid Nick Saban was talking about, that Ole Miss poach who was already in class at Clemson. Why would they want to switch that system?
That's a good point. It's fair.
Yeah.
They pretty much can just do whatever they want. That's why they don't want to change it. I mean, the agents can charge whatever. The kids pretty much can make, you know, money every year in, year out. They can keep going back and asking for more, getting more via the portal. And like you said, I mean, they can be at one spot and then, all right, yeah, we're going to break this, you know, quote unquote contract or whatever you call it and go to the net. I mean, that's why a lot of people that are in it, they don't want it changed because you pretty much can just do whatever you please.
Yeah, it's about pay for, like, it is pay for play because all these guys aren't getting an endorsement deal. There aren't that many guys getting big endorsement deals in the NBA. You know, there's only a couple of guys in the league that got a shoe deal. Everybody else is wearing their shoes. You know, let's just be real here. It's just that rules, because what's going to happen is even at these big oil booster schools, they'll get tired after a while. because there's no rules. Because you can tell these rich, wealthy people that, yeah, I'm out in a year, and I gave you all this money. And I just think that is, those are some things that you don't want donor fatigue, and that you don't want it to be like an economic downturn where fans are like, man, I lost my job. I got to pay. I got to stretch my credit card thin, and I'm supposed to pay $20 for this freshman to just visit. Or this transfer portal, pay $100,000 just for him to just visit. You know, and I just think that we just got to be honest about that. And I know, Craig, you talk about coaches' salaries. The one thing about coaches, some of these coaches shouldn't get the money they make, but we know how it is. But it's more than just coaching football. It is, they're pretty much the CEO in the face of the school. Because I remember, like, growing up in Alabama, most kids went there from, like, the Southeast. Now you got kids who never stepped foot on a campus or in the state wanting to go. You know, and it, like Nick Saban being there, having a great program, actually increased enrollment from all over the country and the world, but also had the other sports level up as well. And I just think that, but people talk about coaches, but there are rules. Lane Kiffin wanted to jump from Ole Miss to LSU. They had to pay LSU some money for a buyout. Kid A could leave a school right now, and there's no penalty in most cases unless they got it drawn up. And so I just hate how they try to make everything apples to apples. But I do think there should be some rules there in place, not just protect, maybe also to protect the kid. Because remember this, Christian, kids do get pushed out. So at least if the coaches in the school want to push you out, at least you get money for them also, just like if a coach got fired.
That's a fair point. And that does happen, probably a lot more than people realize that it does. But I mean, you got to understand it's kind of part of it too. Now you're talking about paying guys, yep, and having budgets. I mean, if a guy's not producing and you initially were paying him one thing, I mean, it's kind of like, hey, we're not, because remember, these are also pretty much 1 year deals, right? These, yep, contrary to belief, I mean, we talk about contracts, there's somewhat of like a NIL contract, right? It's not a formal contract, like we're talking like a 3 year, $20 million deal, but it's like, hey, over the course of this year, we will pay you X amount of money for NIL, right? Quotation marks with my fingers. So yeah, that does happen. You got decisions to make. That's why these GMs have to sit there and manage their rosters and then decide, you know, who we're going to pay more to, who we're going to try to retain, and who we might just let walk or ask to maybe enter their name in the transfer portal. Let me ask you this, Smitty, because I wanted to talk about this as well. Coach Saban had mentioned basically the regional conferences, right? Remember, it used to be SEC was pretty much, you know, the southeastern part of the country, right? Pac-12 was, you know, the West Coast schools. Now you got the Big Ten consisting of some of those former Pac-12 teams that are on the West Coast. Teams are having to travel and fly back and forth across the entire country. He had mentioned that he thinks in the best interest of student athletes to have regional conferences, and he doesn't believe it's fair for those kids to have to go from USC to maybe Rutgers, and no matter the sport.
Hello?
There. Yeah, can you hear me?
All right, yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah, I can hear you now. To answer that question, this is where the conference leadership dropped the ball as well. The Pac-12, like old commissioner, Larry Scott, was terrible. We negotiated bad TV deals. The Big 12 had a bad one for a minute. But then again, they decided they want to pay Texas more money than everybody else. And Nebraska is like, bump this. We are out, same with Texas A&M and Missouri. So the conferences did it to themselves in that regard, the commissioners. But you don't have to take Rutgers. You don't have to take these schools. It is a problem, you know. The SEC is still somewhat regional because a flight to Texas is not that bad from Alabama, per se. But I think with that regard, the toothpaste is out of the tube. Maybe with football, you can still do it, but maybe some of the other sports, like Olympic sports, maybe you do like the pack, like Gonzaga does, where they play the different, or like Notre Dame does, play the ACC and these other sports. And I think that may be something they can think about right there. Maybe for the Olympic sports, going to a more regional league. But basketball, football, where the money's at, you probably got to just stick with that. And that's just something that I was thinking about. That comes to mind there.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I thought it was interesting he brought that up. I think it makes total sense to try to do that. But like you said, you know, paste all out of the tube. I don't know if you you go back on that, especially when you have teams like Oregon, Southern Cal that are now members of the Big Ten. They like the benefits of being in the Big Ten, a much bigger, more successful conference. I mean, the Pac-12, I don't even know if that even exists at this point. So, I mean, I don't even, probably a little too late for that. But
it does.
No, it was. It's, but look at the teams in it.
It's bad, bro. Hey, yeah, it's bad. I thought it was bad. It's bad. They on the CW, brother. It's, I don't talk about CW. It's NXT. I don't turn that channel any other time. I saw those teams like Texas State in the. In the I like, brother, y'all need to hang that up, man. But the thing is, right? And I'll say this. I think, like, with this stuff here, it shouldn't have come to this because the NCAA should have been out in front of this 30 years ago. Just like with that video game, I think those guys might have gotten $500 each just for their likeness on the game. Like, NCAA, you mean to tell me you shut down a video game for over a decade with $500 a person? But this is on them. But also, I think you also got to blame these boosters and these collectors also, because they go into court for everything so they can pay big money to below-average players. You remember the whole Tennessee thing with Nico, the private jet and all that? And guess what happened? Mm-hmm. Nico left anyway. He wanted more money anyway. So I think sometimes you can't go to court for everything, but also maybe tell some of these guys no. Call their agents bluff. Because nobody's also bringing up the fact that why aren't these so-called player salaries deals public knowledge like it is in pro leagues? We know what folks are making, because to me, that would help the locker room dynamic out, because, this school say you give me this, my thing would be go over there, depending on how much it is. I know the Coach Saban's done it, because you also can't wreck the locker room, dynamic. And with Kiffin leak those salaries from Ole Miss, that hurt the locker room because guys hit the portals, oh, he's paying this guy more than me. So I think that needs to be structured. And if anybody's against structure, they're not really helping these kids out, because these folks need structure because it can help them later in life as well. But, hey, you have a good one, Christian. Keep up the great work, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, brother. You too, man. Good stuff as always from our guy, Smitty. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep.
Experience is preferred but not required. Apply at CoviaCorp.com or call the Covia office at 205-758-8353.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. A beautiful afternoon with sunshine at 83, an easterly breeze, 60 our low tonight. By tomorrow, 83. Thursday night's low, 60. And Friday, sunshine with a high, 86. Looks like our next shot at showers and storms come in late in the day on Saturday with a high, 86. Numerous showers and storms to close out the weekend on Sunday. Sunday's high in the mid-80s. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Everyone, we'll go back to the phone lines, but Reed, quick question, because I saw Jay Money in the chat. He mentioned the Big Ten, and he had an interesting comment. He said their teams are bad, and so are the ratings. He was talking about like their next TV deal and just saying they've got bad entertainment, but I had to disagree on that, man. Listen, I mean, we're honest on this show, man. Of course, we're Alabama fans, you know, SEC fans, live in SEC country. But to say the Big Ten has got bad teams I don't know about TV ratings. I don't have those pulled up. Maybe we could try to do that. But in terms of the football that's being played in the Big Ten, I disagree with that personally. The way I view it is the Big Ten has really caught up to the SEC. They've covered all that ground, right? They've won the last three national championships in college football. They consistently have a number of teams in the top 25, just like the SEC, right? I mean, now that they've added Oregon, who's been a top 10 team consistently over the last several years, Southern Cal, storied program, top 25 over the last few years. I mean, like a 9-3 type football team, but they always hover around being a top 25 team, more or less. And I feel like they get good players, so I feel like they're an interesting team to watch, right? Indiana, we see how good they are now, right? It's not the same Indiana program that they once were. Michigan, I know they've kind of fluctuated a little bit. They won a national championship several years ago, but still it's Michigan, right? We know how big the Ohio State-Michigan game is. I mean, I would argue that the Big Ten is, you know, right there, you know, with the SEC right now. That's just my opinion. Reed, what do you think about that? I mean, are you with money? You think it's the teams are bad, they're not interesting, or you kind of with me and you're like, I think it's a lot better than they've been. They're probably at the best that they've been in probably quite some time.
Yeah, I'd actually make a statement that right now at this current moment that the Big Ten is probably at the best it's ever been, just strictly because of how we've seen these last 3 years in the last three national champions. And I always say this statement because I truly believe that there's a difference between best and the deepest conference. And I think, no doubt, and I growing up, even before an Alabama fan, I've always been an advocate for the SEC, right? But I'd make the argument currently right now, and if we're only going based upon the last 3 years, I think the Big Ten is the best conference, but if we're talking deepest from top to bottom, it's undisputed the SEC.
You know what's crazy? I mean, I agree with what you said, except for I don't even know if I would say undisputed anymore for the SEC being the best top to bottom. I do feel like the SEC still gets the nod, but I think there's an argument to be made if we're being honest here. I mean, let's pull up the – matter of fact, we haven't talked about this. Didn't somebody come out with like a preseason top 25? Alabama was like 19th. Let's go back to last year's CFB top 25 real quick. I know we've done this, but it's been some time. We'll count the teams. I would say it's pretty dang close to being probably almost even, right? Let me share this so everybody can see this as well. We'll start with the final rankings for the AP top 25. Let me throw it up here on the screen. Now, we definitely need to zoom in so you guys can see that. You had... Reed, you might have to help me count on this one. Indiana, that's 1 point for the Big Ten. You had Ole Miss at number three. That's 1 point for SEC. Oregon, 1 point, another point for the Big Ten. Ohio State, Big Ten. Georgia, SEC. A&M, Alabama. So we're at four total for the SEC. Texas, 5. Oklahoma, 6. Damn, Vanderbilt 7. So yeah, top to bottom, you might be right. It definitely might still be heavily leaning SEC. Iowa, Southern Cal, Michigan. Hold on, not just yet. So I think
it was a lot closer than I expected. But
it's like 17 for the SEC, yeah. Maybe 6 for the Big Ten.
Yeah, I counted 7. Yes, 7 and 6. Yes.
Yeah, and so that was on the AP. We'll just leave it there. We're not going to waste too much time counting. So I was about to say, I think because we did this before, it was closer than I even thought. So that's why I stand firm on what I said. I still believe the SEC is the deeper conference. I agree with you. But I would not be mad if someone wanted to make a case for, you know, yes, you're going off of the ranking, sure, but maybe somebody could make an argument that is a lot closer. Because like we said, I mean, 7-6 is not some huge difference there. Not to mention, they have the three – past national champions over the last three seasons. I mean, it, like you said, I think if you're making the argument, six teams in the top 25, the last three national champions, one could probably easily, not easily, but make the case that the Big Ten is, in fact, the best conference currently.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
No, yeah, I agree with the best. I just think that when it comes to the deepest and the fact that I sometimes feel like not every single week in the Big Ten is going to be a dogfight, unlike the SEC. And that's kind of why I think of, when I think deepest, I'm like, hey, even these teams on the bottom could, on a good week, could give the top teams a run for their money.
No, you're 100% right. And I agree with that because, I mean, man, I lived it. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I mean, my senior year, you know, Arkansas, I think they won like two games. And they were a tough football team. Let me tell you, right, when we went to Fayetteville or wherever they're at in Arkansas, I mean, it was a tough one, if I remember correctly. I mean, it's always been like that. Mississippi State, you know, record-wise, won a very good football team. They had that one year in 2014 where they were ranked like number one. But we always knew it was going to be a dogfight. It was going to be a street fight against those guys. So, I mean, Georgia, when they went and played Kentucky a couple of years ago, I mean, like, there's always going to be some good matchups. So, yeah, I'm with you on that, Reed. I do agree that top to bottom, SEC still has the nod. I wouldn't be shocked if some people want to argue that, but I think it's, you know, we can hang our hat on that one. But in terms of the best conference, I don't think it's definitively the Big Ten necessarily, even though they have the last three. But I think it there definitely is a clear argument for that. And I would not really give too much pushback on that. But there's still some cases for the SEC, because, I mean, you still could always make the argument, well, we beat each other up so much that, you know, you guys have an advantage by the time you guys get to the postseason. You know, you guys aren't as beaten and bruised like we are, right? And you have a little bit easier of a path to get there. So you got an easier path. You're not as beaten up. That way you guys are, you know, fresh and playing some of your best ball. When you get to the postseason, by the time the SEC gets there, we about killed it all of each other in league play. And now we're kind of, you know, fighting an uphill battle. So, I mean, there's a lot of arguments to be made, but definitely some interesting stuff.
Completely.
Let's hit the time. Yeah, yeah, 100%. We could go back and forth on this argument all day. Let's hit the timeout. When we come back, we'll go back to the phone lines. I think we got T up next, and plus we'll keep talking about this and other things as well. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud
from our home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
It's easy and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
back into this Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Big shout out to our friends over at Lamprello Law. Adam's got a new YouTube channel, it seems like, at Lamprello Law. Make sure you guys go check it out. Looks clean. New username. It's all new because it's a new channel. But the photo looks great. Looks very nice and clean. So make sure you guys check them out. Of course, Lamprello-Law.com for all your representation needs. You can schedule yourself a consultation right there on the website. Get all the latest info. They also do things not just in terms of defense matters and academic misconduct, NIL, but also for high school, college, and graduate students, subject matter mastery, exam and test taking preparation, all that good stuff. They got you covered right there at Lamprello Law. And, of course, now the new YouTube channel at Lamprello Law as well, man. Looking good. Really good stuff. Brad Crawford, he's with 24/7 Sports. Now we're going to go to the phone lines. Give me 1 second, T. I just want to throw this out there. Reed, am I too naive? Am I too biased being a former player of Coach Saban's that I just get so annoyed every time I see people say this stuff? Anytime Coach Saban speaks out, people are under the assumption that he's doing it because he don't want people to catch up, that he don't want Alabama to fall off. And I just want people to really just think about this. The guy is 70, however years old. He won 7 total national championships, right? 6 at Alabama, 1 at LSU. The dude has accomplished every single thing imaginable on the college level, right? And really could have even, and that's just the stuff he won. Where I mean, I was fortunate to play in 4 straight national championship games. Literally from 2015 to 2018, I played a national championship game every single year, right? I mean, like Coach Saban was just that dominant. I just can't wrap my head around why somebody who was that dominant, who's always been a very selfless person in the sense that Coach Saban has never really done things for his own gain, even when he's had success. He's not going around parading it. It's never been about that. For him, it was just on to the next one. He was just chasing greatness. Why all of a sudden do people just think that this guy is like trying to play like keep out? Like, oh, no, I had my success. I don't want other people to have it. He's never acted like that. He's never even given that impression. Like, if you said that about a different coach, another coach that maybe was a little bit more outspoken, maybe Lane Kiffin. Say it was Lane Kiffin. And we know how Lane Kiffin acts, and how you got, like, it sounds like ex-girlfriend drama with Ole Miss and Tennessee. And maybe if Lane Kiffin was kind of doing this kind of thing, I could understand people like, man, Lane's just, he don't want other people to. Dude, Coach Saban, I wish people really understood this dude could not care less, man. If another coach came on and won more national championships than him, I promise you he would congratulate them and just go about his day. Like, I don't think it's ever for him been about how many titles I can win to show off. Of course, he wanted to win as many as possible because he just wanted to be elite. Am I being naive, Reed? I mean, like, do people really believe this guy is doing this to play keep out? Keep other people away from success?
Believe it or not, I think there are certain people that believe it. I am not one of them. No, I think, like you pointed out, I just think that he's always been kind of like you talked about. There are certain other people that if it was them and their characteristics of how they are, I'd say, okay, maybe I could see how they're playing keep out. But as Coach Saban, how we've all known him, I just don't see it. And it's kind of like what you talked about. What does he have to gain from keeping it out?
Nothing. You know what I mean?
Even
if Alabama continues to win, like the whole, the sentiment that, he just wants Alabama to. I understand he supports Alabama, but, and people might not want to hear this. Just to be honest with you, if Alabama went on to suck the next 10 years, it would have no effect on him. He did what he did. Like, and people might not want to hear that or might not believe it, but it's just true. That's not to sound selfish. It's true. Just like I make this comment, like, and this might sound selfish. I'm just being honest. As a former player, I want to see Alabama do great. I want them to win every game possible. I want them to win championships. But guess what? That does nothing for me. Like, for me and my resume as a former player, if they never win another national championship again, that takes nothing away from the championships that I was a part of. And if they win one, I'm not getting some ring. It sounds selfish, but you get what I'm saying, Reed? Like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, all them winning now, all only good it does is say, my alma mater where I played at just won a national championship.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that's pretty much the point I was thinking about with Coach Saban was it. No matter, like you pointed out, if they end up sucking 10 years from now or going to win 8 straight, right, it, nothing impacts the legacy that he's already built.
Fair and square. That's the point I've always tried to make. I know it sounds selfish when you say that, like, oh, well, I won mine. But you get the point that, like, of course, I want us to win. I'm cheering for us to win. But at the end of the day, it's just so we can just have bragging rights. It does nothing else for us. I mean, you know, we've already had our opportunity, whether you're a player or a coach. I mean, what's done is done. So, like, I don't understand why he would be literally taking time out of his retired schedule, where I'm sure he would love to be going golfing right now, hanging out with Miss Terry, his grandkids. I mean, I highly doubt he would be doing that with this master plan where so maybe they just envision him rubbing his hands like an evil villain, right? Like an evil villain, right, Reed? He's just sitting there in his big old house with that nice boat in the back, just rubbing his hands like, how can I keep people from reaching my status as the GOAT? What could I do to make these former players not get paid? Like dude, they, come on, man. People gotta grow up. Let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got T up next. T, welcome in.
Hey, Mr. Miller. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's going on?
I had one question for you, but now I got three quick comments. One on that, when a sports journalist says something preposterous like that, I have to think, kind of give them benefit of the doubt and say that because of the business they're in, they just got to come up with some kind of angle to get people talking.
Sure.
That maybe he don't really. Surely he don't think that. A little earlier, your conversation about the SEC being so deep, just an opinion. That's why I was really a little concerned about the 9-game SEC schedules, thinking about the fact they are so deep. And if I'm not mistaken, there's only one off week next season or this coming season. And, you know, we won't know this till years later, but, and this may sound paranoid, but I know the conditioning of that average athlete is so much better than it was decades ago, but the effect on the body when you're playing that kind of competition. Mm-hmm. But this is the real reason I called. What was the last year that you played at Alabama?
2018, where we got our...
You know, I'm going to make a prediction. Maybe wrong, but I think on the eve of the start of football season, there's going to be a story that will dominate sports headlines. The last time I checked, and I haven't checked recently, but I think Henry Ruggs is scheduled to be released August 6th. Do you think he'll play in the NFL?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I've been meaning to talk about that. I saw an article on that a few days ago. Man, that's tough. I wouldn't say that the door is completely shut, but I think it's a long shot, if I'm just being completely honest with you. I just know how the league works, man. It's a league that moves on very quick. I mean, there's guys year in and year out that are coming from college. I mean, they're looking to replace guys, take jobs. I mean, I just know how they are about reputation and things like that. And you know, I've seen situations where we've all seen it with other guys that have gotten in legal trouble. And some have a, you know, comeback story where they're able to redeem themselves and they are offered a second chance, and others aren't offered that privilege. Where does Henry fall in that? I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I know the seriousness of the situation with him. I definitely think it's going to make it even more difficult for him. But in terms of him being young, I mean, I think he'll be what, like 27, around that age?
Right.
I mean, we know the athlete that he is. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that he could make a return. It's just, will he be afforded that opportunity? And if I'm being honest with you, I think it is a little bit of a long shot. I don't want to sound like a pessimist. Because I was my teammate. I mean, and he's always been such a great young man. And I always say this, just found himself in a very unfortunate situation after making a bad decision, right? Yeah. You know, it's not like he was a bad person. You know, Henry never got in trouble in college. He didn't even, never really went to parties, didn't do anything. He really just focused on football. But that said, I don't know if even that would be enough to get him a second chance, just given the situation for what it was. But definitely something to be, I guess, keeping an eye out for, because you just never know. And all it takes is, I guess, first and foremost, the league would have to allow it. And then if they do that, maybe if one team would be willing to give them that opportunity, we'd have to see. But what do you think? I mean, do you think the odds are likely that he gets that second chance?
I'm so undecided. My knee-jerk reaction was that I would not be surprised if he did play again, because there's just been so many players that have committed indiscretions, like what Joe Mixon did was repulsive, with the video of him hitting a female. But I can't, and you know, I was found myself rooting for Michael Vick when he came back. And but of course what Henry's incident resulted in is you know, it's so tragic. I don't believe anyone, I don't think there's ever been a player that has played in the NFL that was tied to the loss of a life. I think Ray Lewis was, it seems like he was questioned in something indirect. Yes. But anyway, in this day and age, I thought if some team needed someone in their receiver core, and from what I heard, Henry has been in minimum security, worked at the Nevada governor's mansion, and I'm sure he's been working out.
Sure.
By the way, this is off the subject, but I know it seems like Josh Jacobs and he were close. Has there been any other update on Josh Jacobs that you've heard?
The latest that I had seen on it was, I think they decided not to, at the moment, I guess, pursue charges just yet, right? So I know his representation had come out and offered a statement basically saying, you know, let all the facts play out. We're sure that he's going to be deemed innocent once everything kind of, I guess, you know, runs its course. And so far, I have not seen any updates about anybody or any office pursuing charges. So right now, it seems like they're probably actively still doing that or figuring out what they want to do. But yeah, so far, I don't think he's still been charged with anything, which I guess seems like a good sign as it sits. But I guess we just got to wait and see. But you know, I hate hearing about these stories, because I mean, I know these guys personally like so well. I mean, I was with them for years, and a lot of these guys are good young men, you know. But I think it's so important that you understand the opportunity that you have and just always be so sure of the people that you're surrounding yourself with, the decisions that you're making, because I mean, time and time again, we see this. I mean, all it takes is one small decision, right? I mean, you might not even think anything bad is going to come from it, and it ends up resulting in something is you know, serious or as tragic as a loss of life, like we just talked about with Henry's situation, or a guy being locked up and his career is done, right? And throwing away the opportunity, all the resources that you're able to make for not only you, but your family. So, I just hope guys can understand, man. Just always, man, you have a target on your back, you know? I hate to say like that, like, you know, oh, you're victims, you have a target on your back, but you know what I mean? Like, you're under a microscope is probably a better way to put it. And anything you do, man, is going to be subject to public opinion, and it's going to be blown up all over the place. So you have to move accordingly.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I know. It just seems with Henry, on one end, it could be a PR nightmare, and then some team might say, hey, he served his time. We'll deal with the fallout.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be shocked if you see something like maybe not the NFL immediately, but maybe CFL, UFL maybe gives him an opportunity initially, and that's the first step. I mean, like I said, I don't want to completely rule it out, but I agree with you. The severity of his situation, given that there was a loss of life, loss of life, I do feel like it's definitely a long shot. But we'll have to see. Right. I mean, never say never. But I hope he is at least, I will say this, regardless if he plays again or not, I am hopeful that he'll be able to use this tragic situation to at least go around and really speak on this. I could totally see, because I'm telling you, anybody that knows Henry or has met him, he's a really good dude, man. I think he could go around and really educate a lot of people and make, and not say make positive out of a situation that is so, you know, horrible, but you get the point. Try to make it as much of an impact positively as possible, given, you know, the seriousness of it. Hopefully that at least is like the floor for the situation.
Right, right. Well, thank you for your time, and I enjoy your show.
Thank you so much, man. Really good stuff. Thank you. Good deal. All right, that was T on the phone lines. Really good stuff. And I'm glad he brought that up, because I meant to bring that conversation up a few days ago, but there's been a million things happen. Maybe we'll dive into a little bit deeper tomorrow. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll wrap things up on this Wednesday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Big shout out to Lamp Brother Law with another super chat here on the show. Again, they've got a new YouTube channel now at Lamparella Law. Make sure you guys go check out the YouTube channel. Adam says he's going to be giving free legal advice there. Now, again, Adam was spot on 100%, 100% for what he said with the whole, I guess, Aiden Holloway situation. So Adam knows what he's talking about. And if you need some help, make sure you contact him. Lamparella-law.com. All that information. Schedule yourself a consultation there. We'll read this super chat here during the break. But again, shout out to Lamparella Law, Mr. Adam Lamparello, always serving the good old people for all of your representation needs. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll talk about basketball. We'll talk some football with a national analyst. We'll talk to Coach Tony Franklin, who will break down an offensive line for us. What does it take to have a great offensive line? Tony Franklin will share some of those thoughts. We'll talk to Brooks Austin about the Elite 11 and more, starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler, weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC, and streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparella Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparella, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Kits and so much more. If your golf cart needs repairs, the pros at Dixie Custom Carts can handle the job. Dixie Custom Carts, Greensboro Avenue in Tuscaloosa.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. A beautiful afternoon with sunshine at 83, an easterly breeze, 60 our low tonight. High tomorrow, 83. Thursday night, tonight's low 60, and Friday sunshine with a high 86. Looks like our next shot of showers and storms come in late in the day on Saturday with a high 86. Numerous showers and storms to close out the weekend on Sunday. Sunday's high in the mid-80s. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
Wednesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Huge shout out to our folks over at Lamprella Law, man, showing us a lot of love on this Wednesday edition. Of course, you can hear Adam on the show every Thursday at the top of the hour. He joins. We got a lot to talk about with him tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that. We'll break down even more detail Coach Saban's testimony or him testifying in front of the Senate and all that good stuff. We'll get a legal expert. Real quick, Reed, I saw you just like this photo right here, man. I didn't bring this up during the show. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow. So long story short, I was scrolling through some old photos. I was trying to find some, so I needed some football photos. Scrolling through some old photos, and I came across this picture, right? And, of course, I'm like the anomaly in this picture. I mean, you just see these monsters. Now, granted, I look pretty big in this photo, but I'm telling you right now, everybody thinks Derek was the smallest guy in this picture. I was the smallest guy in this picture. I just knew how to get the right angles. That said, man, I was like, I need to post this because I think people would like really enjoy this, right? And look, this tweet has like over 120,000 views. It kind of started to blow up. So from left to right, real quick, as we close things out, you've got OJ Howard, myself, DJ Pettway. I think people forget about DJ Pettway. DJ Pettway is a dude, man. He's a Florida boy. Dude was one of like the most, his pass rush ability, man. I wish you guys could have seen this guy. He's a very, very, really good player. Derrick Henry, Ryan Kelly, A'shaun Robinson, and Jaren Reed, right? So anyway, I just threw this on there. I'm like, man, because this picture was taken, right? This was, you know, post-practice lift. So this was us coming off the practice field at the indoor, I believe. You can see it's dark outside, right? This is in the evening, right? We just got done with practice, but you know what we used to do? That's why, remember I told you guys, Derrick Henry would be in there squatting after practice. My skinny ass would be in there trying to do. And as you can see, this is why we had monsters, man. You had dudes that looked like this and had the work ethic like these guys had. So, I don't know. I thought you guys would enjoy that picture. We'll joke around about it a little bit more because people are making fun of A'shaun. They asked, was he even legally able to drink in this photo? The answer was no. A'shaun Robinson was like 19 years old in this photo. Literally, remember, he got drafted like 20. He was 19. What in the world, man? We got to get out of here. Big thanks to everybody making this whole thing possible today. Reed, Chase, behind the glass, all you listeners, Tide 100.9 on the stream. We appreciate it. Look forward to doing it again tomorrow. Same time, same place right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC.